you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
There you go. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Good friend of mine just came in the studio. God, I haven't seen him in a while, and I'm seeing him on Halloween. What kind of sign is that? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We're global. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. We have a great show. We're worldwide. It's Halloween, everybody. Nothing scarier than being with a girlfriend or a wife that you're not happy with. That's scary shit. You need to get out. That is some scary ass shit. Without further ado, I want to introduce my friend, Mr. Stanley, our own Stan Lee. Good morning, my friend. Stanley, it's great to hear from you, man.
Yeah, good morning, good morning. Great song, I'm the man, I'm the man. You are the man. You are the man. So.
You're the man, Stanley.
You're the man, because we need people who can get inform us of the reality of what's happening with the condition of the United States and the condition of the world. Look at Israel and everything. We need informed people. We need information. You can't trust CNN. You can't trust Fox. You can't trust this. We have so it's good to go to a show that we can just listen it in and get the truth. No matter what, Democrat or Republican. And that's why I appreciate your show. And that's why you have a great show. And that's why I put so much high standard on you. Because you're the only one that I have full confidence when you tell me things. And I don't care.
Stanley, I hope I can live up to that praise. But thank you very much. I got my landscapers outside of the house. So I'm going to have to just talk over them. Stanley, where the hell... Bottom line, where the hell have you been? I've been missing you, dude. I know you've been working. I know you've been busy, but man, you stayed away way too long.
I think it's because when I try to call in every time, your blog time wasn't the show wasn't on. That's why. So I got set up. Okay. I called in. That's the only reason. I didn't do anything special and everything. So I tried to call in many times, but I saw that your show is a little bit later than I thought it was. Anyways. Are you still alive and everything with the whole World War III that's going to come in? That we're going to have World War III, Israel and Ukraine and...
It's already happening. I mean, we're already shooting missiles at Iran. God, it's just a mess, man. I don't even know where to start. Ukraine.
I told you.
Russia.
Don't you regret that President Trump wasn't the president right now? It would have never happened.
No, I do not. I do not. I was going. What's going on with your guy, Stanley? What's going on?
My guy is just seeing that your guy is fucking it up. He doesn't even have to fight anymore. He just has to say, look what he's doing. We have World War III. We never have World War III with Trump. Never. He tried to do peace with Israel and Palestine. He had the Abraham Accord or whatever accord he had and everything. Russia would have never invaded Ukraine when Trump would have been in. It would have never happened. It would have never happened. Because remember, Trump wanted Ukraine to be back at the G7 or whatever.
If they would have paid him.
He wanted Russia to go back to the group. I don't know, the international group, whatever group that now Russia is not part of it. Before it was G8. Russia was part of now G7. He wanted them to be part of back of G8. So that's what he was pushing. And yeah, well, during the presidency, that's what he was really pushing.
I'm good. We had a talk. Well, I'm just saying Trump's acting like a fool. He's getting storming out of the courtroom. He's attacking everybody. He's mad
because he's getting indicted for something that has nothing to do with the government. Basically, you're going to indict him for basically properties that he put a price on it. And don't forget, when you put a price for property and everything, it's not because, let's say you have a house and they say, I think that house is worth $3 million. It's not because you just say that to the bank, I think the house is worth $3 million, that the bank's going to believe you. They send somebody, appraiser, to make sure that it's worth $3 million before they give you the loan. They don't give you the loan just because you said you were $3 million. And he paid back the bank the money that he owed. So that's stupid. Why are you sending him? The bank are not saying, like, hey, Trump didn't pay us the $3 million or $4 million, whatever money that he had. He said a price for whatever, the Trump Tower, whatever, $10 million, $20 million. If the bank said it's worth $10, $20 million, that's on them. That has nothing to do with the government. Until you pay back and everything, because that has nothing to do with the government at all. And I understand what he's mad. And he paid those loans.
Well,
those
how about all those
paid.
People who are flipped? How about his lawyers that are flipping on him, telling about the elections, and they put fake electors in there? What about those guys?
There's nothing he can do
flipping
and everything.
On him.
They can flip on it as much as you want. Don't forget, he said peacefully and patriotically go to the Capitol. If you're talking about that's the thing. If he didn't say those words, then I would say you're in big trouble. But he said those words as the president. So you can't go against him for January 6th for this. And second of all, when it comes to the election and everything, he has the right to contest any election. He has the right to do whatever he wants. But you know who has the final say? Even if you contest, even if you bring all fake in together, who has the final say? Congress. Congress is the person that has the final say. You can bring a fake elector. You can bring all those things. If Congress says, we're not accepting it, you're done. There's nothing you can do. Congress is the final say of it. Look what happened in 2016 when a lot of people didn't want Trump to be president. There was a lot of Democrats that said complaint and everything. And the vice president, which was the president that we have had, Biden, and everything, they were all complaining. And he said, there's nothing you can do. It's going to go through. It would have happened the same thing. Even if you were brought fake elector, whatever, Congress is the one, basically the vice president, which was the vice president that just quit this week, that doesn't want to be president anymore. That's it. And nothing would have happened. That's how we deal with elections. We don't deal with election to court. We deal with the election to Congress. Congress is responsible for the election, not court.
How do you feel? Okay, how do you feel about Hamas going in? Israel and chopping babies' heads off, cutting their fingers
off.
There's
no justification for evil, period. There's no justification for evil. There's a certain standard that we all have. I would have never done it. Even if there's certain stuff I will never do. Take the life of another human being to do this.
Right.
The only reason I would do that is that I need to protect my family. We need to protect somebody that's very dear to me. Like if I needed to protect you because I consider you a brother, I would basically shoot somebody to protect you. But except that, I'm not going to chop somebody's baby and things like that. I understand the Palestinians are very mad because they're saying they've been in apartheid for at least 70 years. Gaza is impossible to live, but there's no justification for Hamas what they did. It was evil, and I'm against evil. Even if you feel that you've been slighted wrong, there's no justification to chop somebody's head and to rape women and to kill, 1,200? There's no justification for that.
Right.
You should never do that.
Right.
There's no justification for that, period.
But do you agree that the Israeli has the right to retaliate and go ahead and blow them up and get rid of them?
They have the right to retaliate, but I think they should just send a special unit like we do. When we want to kill some people, we don't bomb the whole place. If you want to kill Hamas, you find out all the leader of Hamas, all the top leader, and you send a special unit and say, your job, your mission as a special unit is to kill those people. I have no problem with that. They should have sent some Like, we have the feel. I don't know what they have in Israel. It must have. Send Mossad to them and say, your mission is to kill all those people in Hamas. And you would have not had, whatever, 6,000 Palestinians in a city who are dying. There's no way you justify this. No.
Right.
You kill Hamas. You go get a special unit to kill him. Like, can you imagine, when we wanted to kill Bin Laden, we went to get a special unit. We didn't bomb the whole place to go get Bin Laden to kill him. The same thing that they should have done, Israel, period. They should have got a special unit and go kill the leaders or whatever of Hamas, or capture him or bring him to court or bring him to the justice. You know, make him pay for what they did. But killing 6,000 people, that's a genocide. I don't justify genocide. Wow. That is wrong.
Well, if they vowed to kill you, meaning they vowed to kill every Jew, I don't know. What are you going to do?
Well, how would you feel if I would take your case and let's say you knew for Susie and was killed by American, by some people, and another person, let's say all the people in your family, all the people that you think did was killed by them, you think you wouldn't feel hate inside of you? If there were innocent?
Of course.
So that's what I'm saying. The Palestinians didn't become what they say that hate the Jews just like that. They became like that because a lot of their family members got killed, or innocent that got killed. And I'm sorry. It's very hard to tell somebody, you should have peace when you kill innocent, when you kill your own family. Very, very hard, especially when you have nothing to do to this. Don't be surprised that those people are going to say, we want to kill all the Jews. That's emotion. That's basically hate that's bringing that. That's the consequence of what happened. I don't justify Hamas, what they did. There's no justification for Hamas. But when I hear the Jewish people say, there's some Palestinian who wants to kill Jews. Did you look at what they went through, Palestinians? When you're telling me over 6,000 are dead as innocent Palestinians, what do you think that's going to bring back? That's going to do a blowback like Rand Paul said. It's going to bring a blowback, Brian. You know that. And we don't want a blowback. You do want
it's
a blowback?
It's rough, man. Yeah. No. It is just, when you say World War III, I don't know what the fuck we're in. It's like that gray area. We're not at war, but we're at war. It's almost like Vietnam. Remember Vietnam when they were saying Vietnam was not a war, it was a conflict. We're just doing this. We're just doing that. We'll just see what happens. We have an election coming up.
I still don't understand why Americans went to Vietnam. But even though I read many books about it, I still don't understand the reason. Mm-hmm. Because of communists? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was stupidness. Yeah. That was stupidness. Stupidness.
Well, you know what? There's so much I want to talk to you about. And let's do this.
Two seconds. Did you hear that the young people doesn't want to be drafted anymore? They're saying, we're not getting drafted. Yeah, they're saying that they don't want to be drafted. Nope. So good luck to bring them drafted. Good luck.
No kidding, right? No kidding. Yeah. But I do want to have you. The last time I talked to you, you saw Denzel Washington movie, The Equalizer. And you gave it a good review. You gave it a good review, right? Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it.
It doesn't sound like you liked it too much. It was a predictable story, right?
Yeah, it was a predictable story, of course. The bad guy comes in, kills everybody, goes against the mafia, kills everybody, of course. I thought it was going to be a little bit more intense, but it was okay. But I'm sorry, the whole mafia is against you and you don't even get hurt one time. He kills everybody in the compound. Are you, James Bond? I know you're the Equalizer, but come on, you're not no James Bond. He goes in, and he goes in the end of the movie, the bad guy with all their gun and everything, and he says, and the whole village basically saved his ass at the end of the movie, and he tells them, and he says, I will see you later. The leader of the mafia comes in, I will see you later. What does he do? There's a Washington the same night, goes to the base of the mafia and basically kill everybody. Come on, man. With no scratch, nobody. Come on. And we're talking about at least 30, 40 people in the mafia, plus the boss. So basically 31 people got killed one by one. He goes into one, like, killing one. And to kill the boss of the mafia and everything, drugs them to make him overdose at the end of the movie. And that's it. And then it's over. I'm like, come on. Not a scratch.
Oh, really?
Not a scratch. Yeah, it's James Bond. It's not Equalizer, they should call it. It's a guy, Black James Bond.
And he's 68 years old. Can you imagine what he would have done if he was 30?
Exactly. And he's 68 years old. You know? And he has that little timer. And he has that little timer. Oh, I give him a chance. You're going to the room, and he looks at you, and he says, "I'm giving you a chance." So basically, you got to answer, "Yes, sir. I'll let you do whatever you want." If you don't, he said, "I give you a chance. I give those people a chance."
But you liked it. You're looking for
it. Yeah, I liked
it.
Yeah, I liked it because I wanted to have a movie that I didn't have to think. But it, well, of course, it was
right,
predictable.
Right.
Come on, man.
I got another movie for you. You're not going to
believe
it. I got it here. This is true. It's not fake. Okay, tell me if you would see this, okay?
Which one?
Listen to this. Here we go. You'll figure it out. Here we go. Here's your movie.
I don't have it. Hold on. Oh, that's interesting.
There's no sound to it. Oh, wait, there is.
What?
Hold on. Here we go. Let's try this again. Hold on.
It's reality. It's a different world now. Time to catch up to all of them. Something that you want to do, something that you've got to do, that you do. When you do a fight.
When necessary. I get the more things I gotta leave behind. That's life. Nobody is gonna hit as hard as life.
Rocky 8, 5, 6, Rocky 7. He gets back in the ring.
Rocky 7? Really?
Yeah,
oh, my God.
He gets back in the ring.
How the fuck do you want to get back in the ring? Hey, when you're the coach of Creed. How the hell are you going to come back in the ring? You were the coach of Creed.
You heard what
you're
happened
the coach
in
of
the acting. Well, see, what happened is that he can't mess with Creed. Well, they stole the script from him. From Creed.
They stole the script from him. That's why everybody was like, where's Rocky? Rocky wasn't in Creed 3.
Right.
When he should have been there. And he said he was pissed off and they stole the script or something.
Right. And Sly says that they kind of cut him out and they stole the shit and he can't do anything.
He said in an interview that he would be ready to do it again with him.
But he said it would be with different people, but he would not do it with the same people that behind Creed. You know, the writers and the directors and all that kind of stuff. He would do a Rocky Creed, but not a Creed, and he's in it. And then he has a new documentary out, though, Stanley. And now remember, he's 77 years old. He's getting back into the ring. 77. So, I think did I lose Stanley? Let me see. Nope, I got him. 77,
no, I'm here. I'm here. I just
77
went, yeah.
Years old, Stanley. He's going back in the ring in Rocky 7. Would you see it?
Well, how? How am I going to explain that? How can a 77 years old come back to the ring? Wasn't it Rocky 3 or Rocky 4 that basically he tried to go back to the ring and the people, the commission said you couldn't go and basically he did a speech that basically you can force me, you cannot tell me not to go. Who are you to judge me? Blah, 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 blah.
All
Isn't
right.
that in Rocky IV that he said that? When he fights,
he
said he fought the champion of the world. I don't know, it's in Rocky IV. Yeah. I think it's Rocky
IV
or V in every. Yeah.
Right.
When he did his famous speech with his son. Yeah, when he did his speech with his son. When his son said, "Do you know what I went over? Do you know how hard it is to become you?" And then he did his famous speech and said, the thing he said, basically, like, it's not how hard you can you get put down, it's how fast you pull yourself back up, some shit like that. It was a great speech.
Yeah, and then his son died shortly after that. You know,
his son died?
Yeah.
In real life, or
yes.
Do you know that he's doing? You know he's doing a documentary Netflix about his whole life. Rock.
It's coming. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. He said there's a lot of things that he lied. He had to put a standard to the whole world and everything, lie about stuff and everything. To have that standard and everything. We put them so high, but there was a lot of stuff that he lied about that was not the truth that he's going to say in the doc.
Oh, man. Hey, Stanley, there's somebody just served me a nice hot chocolate. She says hi, but she's busy. Cindy says hi to you.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
She said hi. She's on her way. She's working right now, but she says, tell Stanley I said hi. She loves you, Stanley. You know she loves you.
Of course. Same here. Goes both ways.
But yeah, he's going on Netflix. He has a three-part documentary.
Yeah, he's doing a documentary. Yeah, he's doing a documentary about his whole life, and he lied about something. Something happened. I don't know what he... There's something that he wants to say to the whole world that he lied about.
Really?
Yeah,
I wonder why.
It's the same thing as what's his name? What's his name? Black, not Black Heel. What's the other guy? The what's his name? Not Black Heel. The person that was good in boxing and everything that basically did a lie the whole life and everything that we thought he said in the boxing that I was doing it for my mom and everything and it wasn't true.
Oh, yeah. I forgot who it was, but I remember what you were saying. Yeah.
He won the Olympics, the gold medal, and he said, I did it for my mom and everything. And in the end, he said it was a lie. It was not true. Yeah.
I think it was George Foreman.
No, it wasn't Foreman. It was the white guy. A Spanish person. What's his name? Fuck, man. Not Pacquiao. Golden Boy.
I think I know. He fought Sugar Ray Leonard.
De La Hoya.
Yeah, Nomas.
No, De La Hoya. Yeah, De La Hoya. The guy.
Oh yeah, De La Hoya. Yeah, you're right. He did say that.
That he was like. That he did it for that when he did the lie, and everybody was like, oh my God, he's doing it for his mom and everything I'm doing for his mom. So, and he was having pressure and pressure and pressure and pressure about this. It was a lie. But the beginning, his mom was beating him when he was a kid.
Really?
She was beating him with everything. So he went to get boxing basically to defend himself and everything. So it had nothing to do with his mom. Whatever the interview, what are you doing? And his mom died. And then everybody with pressure and everybody was like, oh, I'm doing it for my mom. And every time I went to get the gold medal, it's for my mom. It was not true.
Everybody
was
well, he was golden. He was the golden boy. Everybody loved the golden boy.
And he couldn't lie. And he said, why didn't you tell the truth? And he's like, are you really? He had all those sponsors. Everybody was a great. It was a great story. Blah blah blah. So he couldn't lie. He was like, "Man, I'm stuck.
I know, kid. I know.
And he stayed with that lie for 20 years, 30 years until he couldn't do it anymore. and he, you know, couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's all about the movies. Well, here's Stallone in his own words, Stanley, about his documentary.
Here's the document.
You have regrets?
Hell yeah, I have regrets.
What is healthier? To live under the illusion that you could have been great, or actually have an opportunity to be great than you were always in your life. Filmmaking, it comes at a great price. There's no time for anything else. Nothing inspires you. They're taking your history, rolling it up.
You know, if you could get that same stuff, you know, he's always on. You could Google it. He's always on YouTube, but he's always on TikTok. And he's always saying these things. Same thing he's saying here, he's saying on TikTok. And then he has a reality show, too. So there you go. If you want your sly, there you go. He's always, put him on YouTube and Google Sly Stallone, and he says the same thing. Hey, here's somebody special for you on Halloween, Stanley. You know what I mean? It is Halloween, and I got the best witch in the town. Good morning, Patricia Oberlin.
Hello.
Good morning.
And now, Stanley.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Stanley,
good morning.
Do you know Patricia? Okay. Do you know Pat,
good morning,
real witch?
Stanley.
Stanley.
No,
he
I hear
you're
you.
A witch.
I remember.
Yeah.
No, no, she's not a witch. Come on.
Pat, are you a witch?
Yeah.
Stanley, see? She admitted she's a witch. I know Stanley's being polite. I don't know where he is, but he muted his phone, but he can hear us. Good, hoping that he can come back. Happy Halloween, Patricia Oberlin.
Happy Halloween, to you.
Yeah, my favorite
just
witch.
Just stuffing a Reese's piece in my face.
What are you stuffing it with? What are you stuffing your Reese's pieces with? Are you eating? We're, you know, Stanley's still here. Stanley, I can't hear you if you're here. I want to hear you. I can see you, but I can't hear you.
I'm here. Just a second.
Okay, so what do you think of her being a witch, Stanley?
I don't believe her.
And he said just a second.
He doesn't believe you, Patricia. He doesn't believe that you're a witch.
I don't believe in witches and all that thing. I don't believe that.
She's a real witch. You're talking to a real witch on Halloween. Only I could bring
really?
You a witch on Halloween. Brian the Hammer Jackson brings you, Stanley, a witch. Patricia,
yeah,
tell
right.
Stanley. Tell, no, seriously. Honest, hand to God. Hand to God. Hand to my soul. Am I right? Patricia, talk to Stanley. Tell him how you're a witch and why you're a witch, because he thinks we're playing a bit.
Oh, yeah. I do spells, Stanley. I do spells occasionally.
So what? You do
I'm
spells to
a...
your enemy? To your enemies? To people who you don't like?
No, that comes back on you. You have to be careful. Anything you put out comes back.
So you believe in the whole spirit thing? You believe that the witches and all those things is true?
It is, but not the way Hollywood portrays it. you know, it's more of a religion kind of thing. It's I don't know how to describe it, but it's definitely not the Hollywood version.
So Hollywood is lying about it, so it's more truth than you think.
Yeah, it is true, it is real, but it's not the way they portray it, no.
She likes to cast spells on French-Canadian people.
No, I wouldn't waste my time.
Oh, my God. Stanley. I think Stanley's French-Canadian part, dual citizenship. Stanley, because Stanley speaks French very well. He really does.
Yeah, but I don't believe in the witches. I told you, I have a hard time with God. So imagine witches where it goes in my throat. So, come on.
She does. Okay, you want me to show you? Want me to show you she's a witch?
No, you don't have to show me. She explained it to me. I don't have to know.
Stanley, are you afraid? I can show you.
No,
nope, I don't.
He's not interested, Brian.
Nope, I'm not gonna go in there. No, no. The next thing you know, I get hurt and things like that. No, Brian. I have enough hard stuff in my life. I don't want no hard stuff. Fine. If she could send me as a witch $1 million, then that would be very grateful. But except that, no.
Yeah, if I could send myself $1 million, that would be great.
I'll tell you what. I'll do one thing nicer. Can Pat, who is a very professional, you know, Stanley, Pat's been around with me for about over 8 years, 9 years. She's not new. Pat's been around for 8 to 9 years. Am I right, Pat?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's been with me for 8 to 9 years, Stanley. But As a treat, Stanley, can I give you a tarot card reading? I can ask Pat to give you a tarot card reading, and she can pull her nice spirits and energy and read your tarot cards. How about that, buddy, for Halloween?
No, I want to hear her to read your tarot card reading, Brian, and then I'll go on, maybe. You first.
All right, I'll go first, but you go after me, okay?
I'll see.
Okay, let me get my cards.
Oh, Stanley. Okay, you have to go after me, Stanley, because she's going to give you some spiritual reading here. All right.
Yeah, give me a minute, guys. Give me a minute.
I'll give you a minute. I'll give you a minute.
That's why I'm going to you first, Brian, because if something's going to happen, it's on you, not on me. I'm not going to be the victim.
Yes, Kelly, you do the thing. Oh, sorry, Kelly. Bad thing happened. Sorry.
No. You're a spiritual person, but I'm not stupid.
I'm not going to.
But I thought you didn't believe in witches, so it's entertainment to you.
No, I'm not taking no test. It's not because you don't understand something that doesn't mean it's not true. That's the way you don't want to play with something that you don't know. I don't know about this thing, but I'm not playing with it. No.
Oh, she's a good witch, though. She's a good witch.
She's a good witch. So you're telling me that... So you're telling me there are bad witches in this world?
Oh, yeah. There's witches. I've had witches on this show, Stanley. There's witches who do white magic, and then there's witches who do evil and black magic. A good witch always goes with the white magic, and Pat, I think Pat's in the middle. Sometimes she's on the borderline. Depends on if you piss her off or not. Right, Pat?
No, I tend to stick to the white.
She sticks to the white. But then when somebody, like when she feels that you're a Trump supporter, she gets a little angry and she starts casting spells. I have seen her do that. Right? You know what I mean, Stanley? Oh,
okay,
my
Brian,
God.
You want to hear this or what?
Yes, let's do it.
Excuse me.
Let's do it. Then Stanley, you're going after me, buddy. I'm ready.
Okay, you're going to a distance, Brian, for something. It's going to be destiny. There's a few sacrifices, but have patience because things are going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a victory at a distance. The timing will be right.
Oh, good.
And if you're dealing with anything legal right now, that's also going to work out well.
If I do anything illegal, it's going to work out well?
No. If you're involved in anything illegal.
Illegal?
Like
gambling?
Not illegal.
Oh.
No,
illegal.
Like.
The
don't
law?
Be silly.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I can't, telling me not to be silly is telling me not to be myself. Love me for who I am, woman.
Okay.
Everything's going to work out okay. Now, I do
There's
have a question.
New beginnings or a new job, new
yes.
opportunity.
Okay.
This is also at a distance. Shows success.
You see, Brian, the widget say you're going to do some illegal stuff, you see? And then you ask me if you're going to be stuff. No. You said me need to stop and it's going to be okay. No.
No, she didn't. I thought I heard her say that, too, but she didn't say
she
that.
She said illegal. She said illegal. No.
No, Brian.
Well, I was thinking about getting into sex trafficking, but I don't know. I'm on a fence. Yes, Patricia.
No, it's not working out for that one.
Okay.
But as far as your home and everything goes, everything looks
yes.
good.
Yes. It's good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And can I ask you a question? Or you want to keep,
yeah.
do I wait till you're done reading?
Yeah, I'm done. What do you want
oh,
to ask?
You're done. Now, I have an important thing. I have an important thing coming up on, Friday. Friday, I have an important thing coming up.
Okay. Yeah.
So, How's it going to turn out, and how's my health on Friday?
Okay, Friday.
Friday. If you pull the death card, I'm going to come over there and burn your house down, witch.
Just 1 minute. Yes, it'll work out for you, but for some reason you're getting depressed about it.
Oh, yeah. You're spot on that, sweetheart. Thank you, Pat. That was a good reading. Thank you, sweetheart. You see, Stanley? Harmless. See? Okay, Stanley. Talk to you.
Yeah, you could do illegal stuff.
She didn't say illegal. I thought she did too, but
your legal stuff is going to be okay, Brian. Oh, no, legal.
It's going to work out fine.
It's going to work out fine. Legal. Yeah. Next thing
your
you know,
turn,
the FBI
Stanley.
Is going to go to the radio show of
yeah.
Brian and go there. You have the right to rewrite lies. I am not part
yeah,
of
I
this
know.
Shit. No. I don't want the RACMP to come to Canada and arrest my ass because of you. No.
No, you're going to have a different one. Are you ready, Pat? Are you ready for Stanley?
Go ahead.
Stanley doesn't seem to want one, dear.
Oh, he does.
No.
He does.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Go ahead. I'll listen. Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, just talk for a minute, Stanley. Tell me about the weather.
Yeah, the weather is a little bit cold. Not so warm right now. Summer is over. It's done. And everything.
It's not like Brian in Los Angeles. No, Brian, you're in Los Angeles or San Francisco?
Brian.
Brian, how are you? Are you there? Hello? Huh?
Yeah, I'm here.
Where's Brian? Brian's dead.
He must have taken off for a coffee or something.
Okay.
Oh, I'm right here.
Are you in LA or in San Francisco, Brian?
No, I'm in LA, Los Angeles.
Yeah, okay, so you're not so bad. You're not like the crazy place where Mr. Newton destroyed San Francisco. LA is
Well, I am kind of. I'm about a half an hour away from Hollywood, so you get the.
So it's all. Yeah, no. Hey, did you hear that all those movies are getting pushed away? That basically they're saying in 2024 there's not going to be any summer movie because everything's getting pushed. All the movies that were in 2024 are 2025. All the movie of 2025, we don't know what's happening. The superhero movies are done. So there's no going to be superhero movies and everything because they're not making money, you know?
That's true. Well, now they're starting to make money. Oh, God. Five Nights at Freddy pulled over $100 million, I think. They're starting to make money again.
What's that movie?
I'll go check that. While she's ready to read you, Stanley. Don't try to run away from it. I'm not running now.
She said to talk.
Okay. Go ahead. You ready, Stanley?
Wait. I gotta, Pat, before you read him, please, before you read him, hold on. I want to get Stanley relaxed because he's a little nervous. So here you go, Stanley. I'm giving you something to relax. Here you go.
Oh, boy, what are you giving me to relax again, Brian? Oh, my God. Really?
Oh,
really? Really? Really?
Okay, Pat.
I don't know who was worse, Michael or Jason. Who's the worst to get killed, Jason or Michael? That's the question you would be good at. Good. That's the question
Jason
good
was
to
ask. Worse than Michael. Michael had a heart a little bit. Jason was just
really?
He was an entity, just evil.
Go ahead, Pat.
Okay. It starts out with a woman. She's going through personality changes right now, but it looks solid. Learn from the past about children and things like that. There is happiness if you're strong. The woman seems a little pressed, like she's thinking of walking away, but I don't think she's going to. I think it's just a thought.
Why does she switch personality? What the hell is the problem with her?
Oh, it's just, you know, how people grow through their life. She's going through a change, honey. How old is she? Stanley?
35.
Yeah, that's when people change a lot. But it shows here that everything looks good. Like, there's going to be some upsets, but nothing serious. You do have success. There's a few obstacles, but there's money going to be coming in. And a victory. So I wouldn't
good.
Until
money's coming in, that's the most important. Relationship, women.
Yeah.
Problem. Why didn't you make her read my stuff, Brian, again? You bring me your thing about her again. Problem, personality, problem.
It's a card. I have nothing to do with it. I'm bringing you
Halloween. Brian, I want him to talk about his relationship. Go ahead. Go.
I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
In the cards. I mean,
how did
you know he had a bad kind of experience with this woman? It's in the cards. I think Stanley still – does Stanley still love her, Pat? What do you think, after all these years?
No.
Ah, okay.
Nope.
There you go. Isn't she good? Thank you, Pat. I'm telling you.
She's good.
Only I will bring it to you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome, Stanley.
It was a reading of Stanley.
Question I want to ask everybody is, question I want to ask Brian and Pat. What is the best Halloween movie? Let me think.
Oh, the best?
Oh, I don't watch that stuff.
Which one, Pat?
I don't watch that stuff.
The best scary movie. Or a scary movie or a horror movie. What's the best horror movie?
Oh, I love it. I love horror. I'm a horror fan. The best horror, I would have to say The Exorcist. I don't think anything beat The Exorcist. I was not expecting it. It was different.
The first one or the last one?
No. The original. The original with
the
Linda
original.
Blair.
Yeah,
I was not expecting
it.
I was not expecting
that one.
That was crazy. Yeah. But I am a fan of Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
I am a fan of Freddy Krueger because he cracks jokes. When he kills somebody, he has those one-liners that cracks me up. I'm a big fan of – I love his stand-up.
Especially when the young kid thinks that they're okay. You see, I'm not sleeping. And he's like, yes, you are. And then he kills me.
You know that's based on a true story, right? That's based on a true story.
Oh, it's based on the true story, really? Wow, I didn't know.
Yeah. It's based on a true story.
What did you think about Freddy versus Jason? Wasn't that Freddy versus Jason, the movie?
Yeah, it was kind of comical. It was entertaining. You know, Stanley, it was entertaining. You know what I mean? When you want to get away and maybe it's a rainy day or dark night, you want to have some popcorn. Why not, you know? Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? But I'm going to tell you something. The Five Nights at Freddy, I've never seen it. The kids are going crazy over it. And,
no, boy. What the hell's that about?
When I think I want a threesome, I think of Pat and Hocus Pocus. That's what I
think. Really? Brian?
I don't know. Oh, my God. Well, she gave you a good reading, though, man. She's spot on. She's a good person. And Stanley, seriously, if you want to ever ask, and I know Pat is personal, because when I hear, when she doesn't want to reveal that she's a witch, because people are so stupid. They think, you know, Hollywood and all that other bullshit. I have dated a witch before.
But the witch is because a lot of people are scared of them and they don't know. So.
Well, I guess. But if
we used to take people who were like Pat and witches and burn them. A lot of people used to do that back in
the day. Well, Pat is afraid of matches, so. Don't light a match near her. She is a kind of, she's squirmish. No, me kidding. Yeah, they did.
They used to burn people that they don't know, especially during the time where if you didn't believe in God at all, they say you were dead. You better say, yeah, I do, even though you didn't. A lot of people lie during that time.
Well, they say the origin of witches, Stanley, is this early witches where people, you know, they practice witchcraft, they use magic spells, and they call upon spirits for help to bring them about change. But most witches were thought to be pagans and doing the devil's work. But they were simply natural healers or so-called wise women. And those were the witches. They were like healers. They loved the earth. They were spiritual people. They were healers. That's who they really were. Am I right, Pat, or no?
Yeah, you are.
They were called wise women, and their profession was misunderstood. But in the Bible,
well, their crime was knowing things people didn't.
Yeah.
You know, about how to use medicine. And
that's right. And they thought that they thought that it was against God. How dare you basically go against God and survive and do this? You must be doing, you know, when it was witch, when they were doing medicine and everything. Yeah, it was crazy back in the day. Inquisition, just because you tried to heal somebody, you could get killed, just because of that.
Oh yeah.
So
bad.
Well. To this day, you can't get. To this day, people are just weird about it too, and they go after witches. I mean, I don't know. Stanley, would you ever date a witch? A California nine. She's a witch. Would you date her?
No, I would date somebody who has a great personality, a great heart, and a good look. I don't care about the way she could believe. Yeah, she could believe what she has to believe until she's a good person.
Wow.
Oh yeah,
so
she has to have the three things. She has to be honest with me. She has to be trustworthy, and she has to be respectable. She has those three things that I could work with. But if she doesn't have those three things, I can't be with somebody who doesn't have those three things.
Wow. You don't mind her flying around a house in a broom or anything, you know, while you're trying to watch TV? You could not marry a witch, Stanley. You would be so superstitious.
Well, first you got to believe that she has the power to do this.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
And I want to ask Pat that. I tell this story, but I never got the answer. Where that woman who claimed she was a witch and she put blood in my wine, and she said she was casting a spell on me. And I said it wouldn't work because I don't believe in you. Now, Pat, even though, do you have to believe for that to work, or can non-believers be part of the prey of a dark witch's curse?
Non-believers can come pray to them, yes.
Really? Wow.
Yes. And if she was trying to do a blood spell, that's kind of pretty heavy duty.
Yeah. She pricked her fingers and she squeezed like 3 drops of blood in my wine. That's what she said. That's what she did. How's that?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't have drank it.
I did, to prove a point. I mean, that wine was expensive. I mean, it cost me like $8. I'm not going to waste that wine. Get away from me, woman. Maybe that's why I'm cursed. Hey, Pat, how does a person tell if they're cursed? Like, let's say Stanley. Do they have an aura of being cursed? How do you tell if somebody's cursing you or you're being haunted? I like to know.
Well, all in all, if you're cursed, you're gonna have certain things going wrong, that don't have explanations. That really, for all you're looking, you can't find an explanation. And curses, I don't know. Depends on who did it and what the intent was. Like, it takes a lot of effort to make one work.
Well, let's
and
say
you
Stanley.
Have to remember, whoever's putting it out is going to get it back.
Yeah. Well, let's say Stanley's dating a person, doesn't know it's a witch. She's not really a witch, but then she can look on the internet, Google a spell. Would that work? Can any person Google the spell, do what the spell says? Would that work? Or do you have to have the high priestesses of paganism or witchcraft to make it work?
No, you don't have to have that to work, but it's hard to explain, Brian.
I know. I'm going to cast a spell on Stanley right now. Stanley, I'm casting a spell on you. I'm Googling it right now. I'm going to cast a spell on Stanley. All right. Oh, here we go. Spells and charms. Stanley, I'm casting a spell on you. Let me see here.
Is she still here?
Yeah, he's still here. He's still here. I'm going to cast a spell on him. Okay, you're going to help me, Pat, cast this spell on Stanley. I'm casting this spell. Spell casting. Let me see. Okay, let's see if I can retrieve a lover spell, the witch's spell, growing his love spell, the lust for me spell. Nope, not that one. Growing his love. Oh, I'm going to cast that growing his love spell. Let me see. Here it is. Stanley, here's the spell, and Pat's going to help me. Here's the spell I'm going to cast on you. Your image will be bathed in soft light as you discover his love for you. Oh, this could be reversed and come back to me. Say, I love you, Brian. Wait a minute. It was reversed. Is your life empty without him? Okay, that's not the spell I want. That's like homosexuality there. The lust for me spell. How come everything is me? I want a good one. Give me my love spell. Lover, come back to me spell. All right. I'm going to cast the lover, come back to me spell, Stanley. It says, this is going to happen is that when you fall asleep each night, you are not blessed with a partner who loves you unconditionally, which is me. I love you, Stanley. Stanley, I'm going to cast a spell that you be thinking about me every day. Do sometimes you dream of having a magic wand that could make this special person love you as deeply as you love them and have this person return to you at once? You'll be turning to my show anytime I want you to come back. Oh, I have to pay for this spell? Not worth it. I have to pay for these spells. Well, there you go.
What, they have a pay thing on the
website?
Yeah, spells?
They're charging per spell. Yeah, $15.95 per
Are
spell.
Are you serious?
How
much?
Yeah. Let me just click down. It depends on what spell you want. This spell is $49. Let me see.
What?
Powerful spells cast on your behalf by a master psychic. Cast a spell. Okay, if you want to retrieve a lover spell, it'll cost you, let me see. And they even have reviews. They give you a 25% discount on it. $69.85 for this spell. There you go.
What does it do?
They have a miss me spell. A miss me, love me, return to me spell. This spell, what would you give to make your relationship great again? The miss me, love me, return me spell. It's actually three spells in once. And if your love life is in turmoil, you have to come to the right place. This is to crave your touch, to forgive you and that. Okay, how much is it? $39.95. And it would arrive in 3 or 4 days. There you go.
Really?
$40. $40 for that spell. Yeah.
Well, I was looking for the powders and stuff.
I promised you dragon blood. I never came through. I'm so sorry. I got distracted.
Oh, well.
No, oh, well. Okay. Let's cast a spell on Stanley, and then I'll get my dragon blood. What kind of spell do you want to cast on Stanley? He's a nice guy. if we were going to cast a spell on Stanley, what kind of spell would we cast on him? For success and money, the Golden Touch? For the Golden Touch?
Yeah, why not?
I know. He's a nice guy. Or love. Or love. Which
one? He might kibosh the love, though. Want coffee, Jim? How much?
All right. Here we go. How to get your free spell casting. Here's what you do. You post three clickable links and choose any spell casting up to $49.90 in value to cast your spell. All free spells cast by professional casters. And here it is right here. In a minute. Okay. I'm not sure what you mean by free spells. However, there are websites offering spell casting for $49.99. There you go. Everything's even witchery costs now is on the market. Unbelievable.
Well,
all right, kids.
The components cost a lot.
Yeah.
Well, the stuff you need for the spells cost, Brian.
That's true. That is true. True stories of murder on Halloween are scarier than the movies. That's the topic for today. You know, if you believe you're haunted, Pat, I never finished the story. We had to leave. I have a friend who feels she just had somebody passed, okay? She had someone passed. He was in love with her, but they were good friends, but they haven't spoken in 15 years. She found out he just passed, but she feels like he is still with her. He's haunting her. And I know what she's doing right now. She's doing a Jewish thing, you know. She's lighting the white candle and saying a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
She said, and I asked her, how's it going? She goes, okay. I told her about you. This is what your job is. This is what you do. You do the haunting thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you do it for a person. I know you do it for a house. But
yeah,
would
you
like to talk to her?
Person.
Yeah, would you like to talk to her?
Sure.
Do me a favor. Put your number in my Facebook again because I did write it down. I did write it down. And we'll do off-air thing because this is kind of personal. She actually feels like she actually feels like she's being haunted. And, you know, she can't do anything about it. And she's lighting a white candle.
Well, that's a start.
That's a start. So she's doing the right thing? Okay. As
yeah.
Saying goodbye. Okay. Now, Pat, when I die, are you gonna light a white candle for me?
Likely. It's hard to say because I don't like candles very often.
But then,
they bother
my spirit.
John.
Yeah, but they bother John. Okay. But my spirit needs to go to the other place. I'm going to be hanging around like, hello, Pat. Brian, I'm going to haunt you.
I don't think
Stop
you're
it.
Going to need much encouragement to pass over.
You don't think I will? They'll just tell me to come on over?
No. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I don't want to leave. Maybe I want to stay. Maybe I got finished business here.
You wouldn't say that if you saw the other side.
Why, is it beautiful? Pat, tell me, you die.
Oh,
how many times did you die? Is it? Pat,
well,
how many times did you die?
The first time, it was like 7 times in one day.
Wow.
And then the last 2 times were 3 years ago. I had 2 heart attacks.
What did you see? Did you see a white light? Did you see anything? What did you see when you died?
I saw a misty area with a stream and willows dragging in the stream and white rowboats. And everybody was dressed in white.
Wow,
and
that's
they
beautiful.
Were going towards the rowboats, right?
Right.
So I started heading towards the rowboat, and I was stopped by someone. They said, "Are you ready?"
Right.
And at that moment, I said, "I don't know." And that's the exact second I woke up to the paddles on my chest, you know, them jump-starting me.
Wow. I had a bad experience, Pat. I was, when I was under, I told you about this.
Yeah.
It was black.
Yeah,
it was
you
dark.
Felt
it was
like you were
black,
falling.
And I was falling. I was falling. And I could hear the voices trying.
That must have been bad.
I'm sorry?
That must have been bad.
It was horrible. There was no earth. There was no desk. There was nothing. There was nothing. There was no keyboard. I kept in my back of my mind, where's my keyboard? I want to see life. There was nothing. It was just like if you're in a dark room, the blackest room ever, the blackest of black room you're in, and you're falling. And I say that room is an elevator. The only way I can give you that room's an elevator, and that elevator is dropping about 60 miles an hour. That's the experience. That's the experience I had. And I wanted to see life. I wanted to see grass. I wanted to see something that reminds of Earth. I'm being honest. That's the only way I could explain it. And I'm hearing people. And I'm hearing the nurse saying, "Open your eyes." And I couldn't open my eyes. And they're yelling, "You got to open," and I'm falling. And I'm hearing, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me?" You know, and I was trying to find them. I wanted to see somebody. I wanted to see something. It was just pure darkness. Pure darkness. And then I remember, I guess it was a nurse, she's getting close to my ear or something, and she's telling me, she's yelling, "Wake up, open your eyes." And then I saw dog teeth, like a dog growling, you know, like a Doberman Pinscher, and just his teeth in the darkness. Just his teeth in the darkness. And I was afraid to open my eyes, because if I opened my eyes, I was afraid I was dead, that this was the world I live in. And if I opened my eyes and I realized this is it, and it took all my strength to open my eyes. So that's what happened. Now, I have had surgeries. I have went under the knife. I have done everything. You know, this is like the third or fourth time that, you know, that I had a procedure. And I never had that before. Never had that before. And it was horrifying, you know. And there was no earth. There was nothing. There was nothing that pertained to this earth at all.
Reality.
Nothing. So what was that, Pat? Was it just anesthesia, or was I really experiencing something?
Well, that was your mind, but you were experiencing something in your mind, honey.
Was I really? But why would I experience nothing but darkness and I'm falling? It must have meant something. I still don't know what it means.
I don't know.
Anyway,
it's just the way you processed what was going on.
All right.
I had my own experience, but it wasn't real. It was in my mind. You know,
did
I
you really?
Checked later, and it wasn't real. It was very real to me.
Wow.
But it wasn't real.
I had those experiences too. I had those experiences too. Hey, Pat, I'm going to give you a gift. Listen to this. Tell me if it's true. Here you go, Stanley. Maybe you can't hear me, but listen to this.
There's a lot of talented people out there. But the truth is, no matter how talented you are, if you're not connected to the right people, chasing your dream can be tough.
Okay, hang in there. Hold on. I don't know.
Story, and then connect them to an iconic mentor for an unimaginable opportunity to chase their dream.
I don't know what that hell is.
Witches were a long-time symbol to the church of the very worst of paganism. The word witch comes from the Old English Wicca, or wise one, usually a woman, and witches were long seen by the church as unruly feminine powers who tapped into the darkest aspects of Halloween.
In the first century, there is this Christian conviction that all the spirits that other people worship, forces which we would call natural forces, forces of the universe, are actually demonic beings.
As the devil's handmaidens, witches were portrayed as gruesome, violent hags bent on evil and destruction. Witches were put on trial all over Europe, and those found guilty were hanged or burned alive.
The presence of powerful women or sorcerers, witches, would have been particularly troubling to the Christian community and particularly troubling to the clergy. There's no question they would find that more reprehensible than anything else.
The idea of the witch as the embodiment of evil was so powerful that even animals associated with witches took on demonic reputations. The black cats we decorate Halloween with today came from a belief that the cat, nocturnal by nature, was a witch's spirit, but in animal form.
They were dangerous. They were upsetting the normal male chauvinist universe that has male gods, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, no woman. So women are not welcome in the hierarchy.
There you go. There you go, Pat.
No kidding.
Wow,
no
the devil's
kidding.
Handmaiden. The devil's handmaiden. I like that. And the devil's handmaiden. Ooh.
Oh, yeah, that'd be me. But no, I don't see it the way these people see it. It's the church demonized everything.
I know, Pat.
It's
you
not
know,
all
Pat,
bad.
I know. I like witches. I dated a vampire once. And I had to break up with her because I was anemic. I was getting anemic. She's that little bloodsucker.
Oh, yeah.
You know how that goes. So that's the story. There are true stories about witches. If you do, Pat's a witch right here. And there are witches in this world. Witch hysteria really took, you know what it is that it's a male chauvinist thing. And the guy was right. The Father, Son, Holy Ghost. There was no room for women, powerful women, women who were special powers like psychics or could talk to entities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in Europe during the mid-1400s, many accused their witches, they confessed under torture of their wicked
behavior. Yeah, the
behaviors.
Torture was horrendous.
I know. Pat, do you have wicked behavior? I'm going to ask John. I'm going to ask John if you have wicked behavior. I think you do.
No, I don't.
You have a little hip in your giddy up.
No, I'm very placid anymore.
All right. Within a century, witches' hunts were common, and most of the accused were executed by burning at the stake or hanging. Single women, widows, and other women on the margins were especially targeted. No men, though, by the way. And men were witches or warlocks. But isn't it weird that they
men
killed the
targeted.
Women and not the men? I know, right?
Men were
interesting.
Targeted, but not very often.
Interesting. Between the year 1500 and 1660, up to 80,000 people were suspected of being witches, and they were put to death in Europe. 80,000 women were put to death
That's
in Europe.
That's a lot of people considering the population back then.
I know, right? Around 80% of them.
In Germany, there was one town that all but one person was wiped out after the witch trials.
Wow. Around 80% of them were women. They thought to be in cahoots
oh, yeah.
with the devil and filled with lust. Germany,
you see,
you just said it.
There you go. There was 20% men.
That's right. In Germany, you just said it, had the highest witchcraft execution rate, while Ireland had the lowest. While Hollywood still loves them. The publication of Malleus Maleficarum. Wow. That's a book. Malleus Maleficarum, written by two well-respected German Dominicans in 1486. I'm going
to... Yeah, it was how to spot a witch and how to do this.
Yeah. Look at that.
As if they knew.
That was in 1486. They're likely spurred witch mania to go viral. The book was translated as The Hammer of Witches. Hey, you're the hammer of a witch. Look at your title. Yeah.
Hammer's Witch.
The Hammer of Witches. It was essentially a guide on how to identify, hunt, and interrogate witches. Ooh. I'm going to interrogate you. I'm going on Amazon and buy a book. When I come up to Niagara Falls, I know exactly how I'm going to interrogate you. Listen here. I'm going to say, John, I'm going to interrogate her. But first, I'm going to try these brownies. Okay, and these shrooms, too. let me see if that book is still... here's the book. Yes, this is the book, The Witch Hammer. Let me see here. As read a sample, I was hoping that you can hear a sample, but they can only read a sample of this book. It says here, the book was published in 1487. Now, when did Columbus sail the ocean blue? 1492. So this was like 10 years before Columbus set sail. Columbus was 1492, wasn't he? Oh, wait.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm Canadian. I don't know those things.
Okay. At the time this book was published in 1487, the Christian church had considered witchcraft a dangerous affront to the faith for many centuries. Execution of suspected witches were intimate. No, that's it. Intimate. I don't know. It must be a mistype. Oh, I'm sorry. Intermittent. I'm sorry. Let me put on these things called glasses, these magical eyes. Strange thing. And various explanations of behavior deemed suspect were thought to be caused by possession, either by the devil or demons, such as the incubus or a succubus. I wouldn't mind having a witch, a succubus. You know what I mean? Hey, witchy. You know what I mean? Succubus. What's a succubus? Is that an entity?
It's a female demon. A female demon that attracts sexually.
Really? Oh. Hey, now. Wow.
So maybe you would want one.
I do. I'm going to get one for Christmas. This guy named Kramer, he wrote this book. And he had tried and failed to have a woman executed for witchcraft. Unhappy at the verdict of the court, he ordered the manual for other witch seekers to refer to. And for centuries, the text was used by Christians as a reference source on matters of demonology. Although it was not used directly by Inquisition, who became notorious for their tortures and murders. I think Cindy's a witch.
They did.
I think Cindy's a witch. I never been one. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
She has strange powers. I mean, I've been here for over 20 years, and I have no idea why I'm here. Every day I wake up, I'm saying, where am I? Strange-ass powers. Dark powers. I mean, uh-oh. Dum, 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 dum. Contrary to popular blah, blah, blah. Kramer's work does not exclusively recommend death by burning as a punishment for witches. Hey, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Baby. Are you a witch?
Yeah.
You are a witch?
I'm a bitchy witch.
You're a bitchy witch? Well, you admit it. Let's see what I mean. The book works. The book works. I made her confess. I made her confess. Well, there you go. That's the book. The book is, and you can get it now. You can get the book now. It's basically how to interrogate a witch, how to, and it's called The Hammer of Witches. The book is usually translated as The Hammer of Witches. And it's a guide on how to identify, hunt, and interrogate witches. That's what the book is. And it's called Malleus Maleficarum. And I'll spell it M-A-L-L-E-U-S. M-A-L-L-E-U-S. M-A-L-E-F-I-C-A-R-U-M. It's a book. It's a real book. And it's labeled for the... and then it quickly became the authority of Protestants and Catholics trying to flush out witches living among us for more than 100 years. All you have to do is have a blog talk show and they come on your show. Hello, witches. I don't need the book. They come to me. Hello, Brian. Hello, my little witches. Play. Yeah. Salem Witch Trial, it began with a 9-year-old person. Her name was Elizabeth. She was 11 years old. It says Salem Witch Trials. It began when 9-year-old Elizabeth Paris and 11-year-old Abigail Williams, they began suffering from fits, body contortions, and uncontrolled screaming. Today, it is believed that they were poisoned by a fungus that caused spasm and delusions. As very young women, this was 1692 in Massachusetts, Salem, Massachusetts. Is there a Salem, Massachusetts? Is there such a? Is there a Salem, Massachusetts? There is.
Yes, there is. That's where all the witch trials were.
I thought Salem was its own state. No, God, am I crazy?
Okay.
It'd be a town. Would have to be a town. I didn't think it was in Massachusetts. I thought it was in New Hampshire. So it is Salem,
what?
Massachusetts. Beautiful. I thought it was in New Hampshire. I didn't know it was in Massachusetts.
They think the whole hysteria was about the infection from the wheat.
Yeah.
Like they all, it's like a psychedelic drug when you take that stuff.
Pat, what are you saying?
I'm saying the whole thing was a hysteria cooked up by the fact they had eaten bad wheat.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. This also, so this was brought to the U.S. by people in Massachusetts, Salem, Massachusetts. Wow. Poor girls. Poor girls. That's what it's brought with. And you can get the book. It's called Malleus Maleficarum, The Witch Hammer. And you can get the paperback now. And enjoy. You could do this. It says the witch is then summoned by flight to an evil assembly headed by the devil. They encourage to practice illicit forms of sex and then granted the powers of maleficent magic. Maleficent? Is that the Disney movie? Magic.
Maleficent.
Maleficent magic. So they encourage. Decades after the initial publication, the name of James Springer was credited. Scholars disagree on whether he was a meaningful contributor who expanded the cortex. Whatever the case may be, for his thoughtfulness, the Malleus Maleficarum is the single most complete source of Christian attitudes towards witchcraft and demons in existence. There you go. Get the book. I'm going to get the book.
Written by Copeland Abbott Slick. Really?
Right. The author is Hendrix Kramer.
What do they know?
I don't know. James Springer and Montague Summers. Those are the people. Those are the people.
Responsible for so many deaths.
Exactly. I'm going to get that book. I'm going to interrogate Pat live on the air. And we'll find the truth.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's going to happen. And if she doesn't tell the truth, I'm going to have a matchbook in my hand, and she'll hear a match lit. Fire. That'll terrify her. I'll light a match. I'll light a match when she's not telling. All right, I got 11 more. Tell me the truth, woman. That's it. I'm kind of bored with it. I thought it was going to be more interesting. Let's go really quickly. Pat, do you believe in haunted houses? Of course you do. We'll talk about the haunted house. And we're going to talk about the haunted house and tell me if it's real. But first, let's go to the news. Pat, you and I were talking about what's going on in Gaza. It's getting horrible. It is getting horrible, Pat. It's getting horrible. I mean, are you starting to feel for these people? I mean, my God. And here's the news.
At the same time. At the same time, they have influenced their children to think the same way. So
I know. But they're killing thousands and thousands.
They're bad from the bottom up.
But they're killing thousands and thousands of people, though. I'm seeing it. I mean, oh, my God. You know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I usually put myself in it.
The Hamas had no problem killing a lot of people themselves.
That's true. Why don't these people give them up?
And you have, pardon?
Why don't the Palestinian people give up to Hamas people? Just give them up.
Because they've had years and years of abuse by them. You know how it is for somebody to walk away from an abuser.
I know. They can't walk away from me. I have a rope around them. I'm not going to get far. I got the book. I want to interrogate you. No, I don't know. I think I am the abused, but if you have to ask the question, then you are. Am I the abuser, or am I the one getting abused? If you have to ask that question, you are really fucked up. I don't know. I'm just going with it. And it's time to go. Pat, going to talk about something. Here we go. And then we're going to transition to Pat. This is unbelievable what's going on. What's going on right now? She's in Canada, and she's hearing what's going on in Gaza and everything. I mean, this is horrible. And here's the latest. Here's the latest what's going on. There's a massive blast in a refugee camp in Gaza. In the refugee camp. Here we go.
An explosion. In Gaza, the Hamas-run Gaza Interior Ministry saying it was at the Habalisha camp, one of the most populous parts of the Gaza Strip, and we must warn you, the images are pretty difficult to watch. The ministry now claiming Israeli aircraft dropped 6 bombs on the residential area. The IDF says that they are looking into the details right now.
You would drop a bomb on a refugee camp? I mean, that's a safe haven. Wow. Right now it shows people holding little babies and their parts of the babies and there's hardly any arms and stuff on the baby.
ABC Inez de la Quintero is tracking it all from Jerusalem. So Inez, what exactly do we know about this blast?
Hey, Kara. Yeah, some horrifying breaking news there. So we know that the Jabalia refugee camp was struck. This is the largest refugee camp in Gaza and one of the most densely populated areas. We're seeing images starting to emerge. They're showing the entire neighborhood flattened, an area that appeared to have other multi-story buildings around it, completely reduced to rubble, patients, you know, wounded, bodies being taken, rushed to the hospital, dug out through the rubble, rescue workers and just people trying to dig through the rubble and get to those people who were injured. Unclear what the casualty number is yet. We're still waiting for more information on that. Like you say, the IDF is not commenting. We have asked for comment, and at this point they say they are looking into reports but haven't yet given any kind of explanation as to what may be going on there. And the Interior Ministry, this is the Hamas-run Interior Ministry in Gaza, saying that at least six bombs may have been dropped on the area. And we're already starting to see reaction in the Arab world here in East Jerusalem and in the West Bank. They're calling for protests through the evening tonight and tomorrow as well. So these are the types of events that the Arab world and the entire world, you know, watch closely when there are such big strikes on densely populated areas with real concerns of high casualty numbers. That is bound to, you know, result in a strong reaction there.
And we will definitely dig in deeper.
Wow, that don't sound good. And, you know, and then there's a Canadian doctor who got trapped in this thing with the Palestinian, this Canadian doctor, on dire conditions, and he's in a hospital right now in Gaza? Is it Canadian? Do you have many Palestinians in Canada, Pat?
Actually, we do.
You do? Is there not a protest going on?
We have a lot of everything here. We have a lot of everything here, Brian.
Is there a lot of protest going on there?
I haven't been watching the news, but I think there is.
Well, here you go. Listen to this. Well, listen to this right here, this story.
Hospitals in Gaza are said to be on the brink of collapse amid a shortage of beds, fuel, and emergency medicine. Doctors say they don't have anesthesia for surgeries or consistent electricity to power critical machinery like incubators. Let's bring in Dr. Tariq Loubani. He's the medical director of the GLIA Project, which provides medical devices to Gaza. Dr. Loubani, thank you so much for joining us. I know it's a really busy time for you, but I wanted to hear from you because you have spent time working in Gaza yourself. What are you hearing from your colleagues who are there working in hospitals right now?
Yes, I spent over a decade working on and off in Al-Shifa, the largest hospital in Gaza, and a few of the others. And the situation, even before this war on Gaza, has been terrible. It's always been bad. However, what my colleagues are reporting now, when they are able to access the internet, is that things are worse than they've ever been. You mentioned in your starting comments that the system is on the verge of collapse. That's not true. The system has thoroughly collapsed. At this point, there are literally thousands and thousands of people in each hospital, many internally displaced refugees.
Wow, can you imagine that? That's your worst nightmare. Wow. Thousands and thousands of people. There's no, the hospitals can't help you. Wow. Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That's bad.
But, you know, the Jewish people are feeling this because a lot of people around the world are saying, gave them an excuse to don't like the Jews again. You know, do you got a lot of Jewish hate going on where you are in Canada or your area?
No.
Good. That's why everybody goes to Canada. Everybody loves each other. We're getting it here, and here's the story. Now they got the FBI involved in this. Here you go. Here's a story.
Federal officials say they're tracking a rise in anti-Semitic threats, including a series of violent messages targeting Jewish students at Cornell University. Stephanie Ramos has the story. Good morning, Stephanie.
George, good morning. In recent days, there have been multiple incidents across college campuses that anti-hate groups are concerned about, especially this past weekend at Cornell University, where police are standing guard after threats to Jewish students. This morning, on the heels of the Israel-Hamas war, a rise in hate here in the U.S. at Cornell University. The FBI now investigating after threatening statements were posted about Jewish people on an internet discussion board, rattling students and prompting officials to send police to guard a Jewish center and kosher dining hall.
A lot of students don't feel safe on campus anymore.
The university president alerting the FBI of a potential hate crime after the messages were posted on a website unaffiliated with the school. Anti-Semitic hate crimes in the U.S. already reached record highs before the Hamas attacks on October 7th, up 25% last year.
Over the past several decades, we've seen threats and acts of violence directed at the Jewish...
Yeah, what's going on with that? Wow.
That's a problem.
It is a problem. I mean, my God, what is wrong with people? What in the freaking thing is wrong with people? I would, that's a protest I would be in. If they were having a protest in my neck of the woods as for, you know, stop the hate on Jewish people and everything, I would march. I would be the first one. I get my good shoes on, and I'm going to march. The hate, quit hating on the Jewish people. I mean, my God. I would do the same thing for the Canadians. Stop the hate on French Canadians, eh?
Oh, really?
Hey. Hey. Stop the hate. Oh, bonjour, eh? Here you go. Listen to this.
Israeli forces rescuing one of the hostages taken by Hamas, reuniting her with her family as ground operations in Gaza intensify.
Our chief foreign correspondent, Ian Pannell, is on the scene in Israel with more on that and on the Americans trapped in Gaza desperately trying to get out. Good morning, Ian.
Yeah, good morning, Robin. There's ongoing fighting in Gaza. It's less than a mile away behind me. Seeing smoke rising again and hearing the sound of battles. Hamas saying that its fighters have been clashing with Israeli troops, and Israel, for its part, also talking about intense battles being fought, but also urging patience amid signs of a slower, more cautious ground campaign. This morning, fierce battles in Gaza as Israel tries to expand its ground operation. The military releasing these videos, they say, show its forces on the ground, infantry troops and tanks. New video shared by the Israeli government capturing the emotional reunion between this young Israeli soldier and her family after she was saved during Israel's incursion into Gaza. Private Ori Magidish was kidnapped by Hamas in that October 7th massacre. The military say her condition is good. And overnight, another hostage taken by Hamas returning home. American-Israeli teen Natalie Ranan landing back in Chicago.
According to my understanding, she's doing well. She's very happy.
The 18-year-old and her mother Judith with a...
She's doing well. They probably raped the shit out of her. She's an attractive... I'm looking at her eyes right now. They're dead. They raped the motherfucking shit out of her. These bastards don't care. You know what I mean? Oh, but she's doing well. She'll probably commit suicide sooner or later. These little bastards. War as hell, Pat.
Oh, it is.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, yeah, she's doing well. Stop it. Friends, Matthew Perry, sad thing about Matthew Perry. Man, Friends co-star share a statement after Matthew Perry's death. It was a stupid statement. They said, we're not going to comment right now. We're grieving, and we will comment sooner or later. Here it is. Listen to this. Tell me how chicken shit this is.
Friends co-stars for the first time. This morning we're hearing from his five Friends co-stars for the first time since his sudden passing about the man they considered family. Chris Connolly is in Los Angeles with that for us. Good morning, Chris.
And good morning to you, Robin. With Matthew Perry, they shared a singular experience in the brightest of spotlights and behind the scenes. And so this morning, we're hearing words of heartbreak from those who knew him so well and cared for him so deeply.
No, they did.
We are all so utterly devastated by the loss of Matthew.
No, you're not.
So begins a statement from the cast of Friends, speaking out overnight on the sudden passing of their beloved colleague, co-star, and real-life friend, Matthew Perry, who died this past weekend at his home in Pacific Palisades at the age of 54. Jennifer Aniston, Courtney Cox, Lisa Kudrow, Matt LeBlanc, and David Schwimmer, mourning together, saying, "We were more than just castmates. We are a family. Our thoughts and
sure.
our love are with Matty's family, his friends, and everyone who loved him around the world." The togetherness of these six actors was famously unassailable. So was Matthew Perry's ability to make them happy, right from the start.
That night, the water was very cold. Everybody was cold, but everybody was thrilled to be there.
As Lisa Kudrow would write years later, Matthew was the reason.
Wow. How did he sound? Did he sound like he was on some shit? Did he sound like, and this is supposed to be one of his sober years.
That night, the water was very cold. Everybody was cold, but everybody was thrilled to be there.
As Lisa Kudrow would write years later, Matthew was the reason we are all laughing in that fountain.
Well, I don't dance at weddings.
Why not?
Because weddings are a great place to meet women, and when I dance, I look like this.
It was his friends, Perry said, who began to notice when alcoholism and later prescription drug abuse sent him spiraling, as he detailed in his sit-down interview with Diane Sawyer for his memoir.
Danielle, and she says, "We know you're drinking."
Yeah, imagine how scary a moment that was. And I said, "How?" I thought I was hiding it so well, and she said, we can smell it. But I wasn't in a position to stop, you know, and that's what addiction is.
As the investigation into his death continues, Matthew Perry, loved so much by his devoted friend's family.
No, he didn't.
Guys?
No, he didn't.
All
Shut
right,
up.
Thank you so much.
Shut up. Quit lying, you bastard. Let me tell you something. When somebody's out of control with addiction, they didn't hang around Matthew. He thought he was an asshole because you're acting like an asshole. You know what I mean? When you're around somebody with addiction, you know what I'm saying? Stop it. He made us laugh. Yeah, he did in the beginning because he was out of control. He was a clown. But when you have addiction, man. Oh, I know. Pat, have you ever been addicted to something?
Very much so.
Like pain pills or anything like that, you know, of your back, your leg, or whatever.
I've been addicted to cigarettes and to alcohol.
Yeah.
I kicked all that cold turkey.
Oh, did you really? Wow.
Yeah, that was hard because I was an alcoholic.
Wow. Yeah, but how about pain pills or anything like that? Any prescribed medication?
Well, I was on a lot of prescribed opiates and stuff, but I didn't feel addicted to them. I really didn't.
Yeah. Well, when people are addicted, here's Matthew Perry.
One simple vision hack anyone can do to improve it.
I don't know. Cigarettes, yes. Cigarettes still got a hold of my black ass. I don't know if I ever had any kind of drugs to be addicted to. So it must be hell. But here he is right here on Nightline.
Home in Los Angeles. The door opened.
Mom? Oh, Diane Sawyer.
Oh, that Matthew Perry is really wonderful.
Please come in.
Matthew Perry is 53 years old, but he knows most of us will always remember when we first saw him.
Hey, who wants light cheese and who wants dark cheese?
Chandler Bing, played by an actor who was effortlessly so fast, an original. And now it seems impossible that all those years ago when we were laughing, we never knew that the young star was fighting for his life in a riptide of addiction. It was pulling him to hell and back over and over again, and he was trying to keep it a secret from everyone.
Wow, that's some heavy shit. I mean, imagine living your life like that. That thing is pulling you to hell and back over, and you're hiding it. You have nobody to talk to. Wow. Have you ever been pulled that way, Pat? You know, Pat, let me say this. Sometimes I joke with you and I tickle you. Like right now, Pat, if you close your eyes, take a deep breath, you'll feel my fingers tickling the bottom of your feet. Tickle, 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 tickle.
Oh, God. I'm so ticklish there.
Let's go back to Matthew Perry. Here we go.
Secrets kill you. Secrets kill people like me.
Now, Matthew Perry has put those secrets on the pages of a book. It is dedicated to other sufferers who, like him, might need help.
It was important to me to do something that would help people.
Friends, lovers, and the big, terrible thing. You start with a thunderclap. First page. Hi, my name is Matthew, although you may know me by another name. My friends call me Maddie, and I should be dead.
Yeah. That's definitely true.
You say, addiction, the big terrible thing, is far too powerful for anyone to defeat alone. But together, one day at a time, we can beat it down.
Yeah. Your disease is just outside, just doing one-arm push-ups, just waiting for you, waiting to get you alone. Because alone, you lose to the disease. And now I finally feel okay and feel like I've got some strength.
What does it mean to feel okay?
It means that I've developed some safety nets around this, you know.
Wow. Now, Pat, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but does it sound like he's still on something? It sounds like he's slurring. Is it?
Yeah.
Now, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Now, let me tell you a secret, and I got to get used to this. I got implants, and they're not permanent yet. They're temporary. I got to go back in later in this month. But I'm kind of slurring, right? But I don't sound like I'm drunk, right? He sounds like he's drunk, you know? He sounds like he's on something. Wow. Okay, here we go.
For some reason, it's obviously because I was on Friends, more people will listen to me. So I've got to take advantage of that. I've got to help as many people as I can.
We've all learned it's not ours to ask someone in recovery how long they've been sober. He says it's why he's written the harrowing details of his journey through alcohol, all those drugs, and the fight to break free. 6,000 AA meetings, therapy 30 years, 15 rehab.
Yeah. Wow. 30 years of therapy, 15 rehabs? When are you going to learn that they don't work? Therapy for 30 years. I guess you need to pay somebody to just listen to you. But 15 rehabs, wow. That's a lot of rehabbing. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Pat, can you be with somebody who's going to, can you say, okay, John, you know, I love you, John. And John goes, yeah, because he's drinking a bottle. I can't hear you. Wait till I put down my bottle. Hey, where are you? Oh, what do you think? And you say, I think your drinking's out of control. What? What? It's not out of control. Ask Mr. Fred. I mean, just because I took a dump in his litter box doesn't mean I'm out of control. And he's still mad at me at that. Right? Then you say, get in the car, honey. Let's go to rehab. I'm not going to rehab. How many times would you take John to rehab before you said, you know what? I'm just going to dump you off in the street. I'm tired. Before you give up, or do you ever give up? 15 rehabs, Pat. Now, how much do you love John before you say, you know what? We tried this route before, and you keep going back. I can't live like this anymore. Is there a point where you can say that?
Yeah, there is.
Wow. Wow.
But
what happened to the unconditional love? Yeah.
Well, you'd have to live it to know, you know, to know
if
it's...
That is true. That's true.
You're right. It could be something unlivable.
That's true.
You know.
Hey, Pat. That's true. Hey, Pat, put your foot up. Tickle, tickle, and tickle the bottom of your feet. Look at that. Tickle, 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 tickle. There you go. There you go. You are so ticklish. There you go.
Maybe at least half of your life in treatment or in sober living houses. He has been in detox, he estimates, 65 times.
Wow.
Survived 14 surgeries after a nearly fatal emergency 4 years ago.
Wow.
Ran me into the emergency trauma room, and it was in there that my colon exploded.
All right. Even homosexuals' colons don't explode. As any gay guy, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to explode your colon. Oh, yeah, you rock me, Robin. Rock me, explode my ass. I'm going to explode your ass. I'm going to make you explode here. I'm going to dump this in you, and I'm going to make you love me. Oh, 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 yes, yes, yes. Make me transition to a woman. Push it, baby, push it. Push it good. End scene. Oh, Pat, can you imagine the weekend? Let me get a weekend in the cabin with me. He's like, all right, here we go. We're going to rock. You're going to go, oh, damn, where's the shrooms? Where's
He's
the shrooms?
He's threatening me with that, but I don't know, man.
Oh, my God.
I think
God.
You guys have to come up here because nothing's legal down there.
All right, we'll come up there, and we'll all stay in your house for a while, for 3 days. Horrible state. Well, this guy's colon exploded. It went kapop. It went, wow.
What? Fatal emergency 4 years ago.
They ran me into the emergency trauma room, and it was in there that my colon exploded. Well, I was put on an ECMO machine, and the ECMO machine...
You know what the doctor said when his colon exploded, Pat?
What?
Shit! Oh, man. I got
yeah,
a lot of
dear.
Here we go.
When you talk to any doctor... is a Hail Mary, is the last thing that you do before people die. And there were five people that night that were put on ECMO machine, and I was the only one who survived.
He was in a coma for 14 days. As he heals from all he's been through, there's still wear and tear on his voice and speech, and the scars on his body like a warrior back from battle.
I was in that hospital for 5 months, and, you know, escaped death really narrowly.
Perry says he's proof that addiction can enter any home, any heart. He's 14 with his Canadian pals and a common teenage rite of passage.
I'd never drank before, and I just sort of drank this entire bottle of what was called Anwar's Baby Duck. That was the name of the wine. And I lay in the grass and just was in heaven. And I thought to myself, this must be the way that normal people feel all the time. And I thought that at 14.
His friends could drink and stop. But for him, the relief was so easy it became his destination.
But, you know, by the time I was 18, I was drinking every day.
It's a pattern he continues, even after landing a starring role in a show that was then called Friends Like Us. But you had no trouble with the lines, you had no trouble with the timing, you had no trouble showing up every day?
Early on, yes. And I made a rule that I would never drink or take anything at work. So I would never do that. But I would show up blindly hungover, like shaking and crazy hungover.
But still somehow brilliant on camera, maybe because he's an athlete and young. And cares so much.
Well, I loved Chandler. I loved the show, and I also knew, remember this, because it's going to be the best time of your life. And I knew it.
Lisa Kudrow says Matthew Perry was always the one trying to keep everyone else happy.
Lisa is the funniest, maybe the funniest person I've ever worked with.
And Jennifer Aniston? They had met years earlier. Perry asked her out on a date. She said, no, let's be friends. You had one of your serial crushes, mm-hmm. if I may say.
Yeah, I mean, how
you really kind of chain crushed.
I did. Well, how can you not have a crush on Jenny and Courtney and Lisa? So it made it kind of difficult to go to work because I had to pretend that I didn't have these.
It is the year 2000, and he's the star of the number one sitcom on TV.
At the time, I should have been the toast of the town. I was in a dark room meeting with nothing but drug dealers and completely alone for months.
The spiral into prescription drugs has begun. He has a memory of the first pill as indelible as the first teenage drink long ago.
I was doing fine this afternoon.
He was making a movie called Fools Rush In, and during a lunch break, he was playing around on a jet ski, has an injury. He's given a pill for the pain and says it was like warm honey entering his veins.
I swear to God, I think if I'd never taken it, none of the next three decades would have gone the way they did. Who knows? But when I woke up, 40 more pills had been delivered to my house.
They were Vicodin. He tells himself maybe he can curb his drinking if he uses...
I remember Vicodin. Pat. I had a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And she loved Vicodin. Oh, my God. Vicodin was like candy to her. I have never taken Vicodin in my life. Never. I never understood pills. But I would take it. I mean, they were like horse pills, if I remember right. And I would score it for my friends. And I would make her happy. I would buy, what was it, almost like $10 a pill back then. I don't know how much it was.
I don't remember.
One time I took, and I never take pills. So I'd never taken Vicodin. She takes Vicodin. It made her woozy and high and crazy. I like that about her. But I had to take the Vicodin pill, too, to join her. And I was waiting for the Vicodin to do something. I thought it would make me euphoric or, you know, like weed or like shrooms. That's what I thought Vicodin would do. You know, okay, I'm going to travel to a faraway night. I'm going to be kissing Lucy in the sky with diamonds with this. You know what I mean? I thought it was a hallucinogenic, but it wasn't. I didn't know much about it, so I kept taking it. I think I took about 5 or 6 Vicodin pills at once. Five or six. Yeah, because it wasn't doing anything. She went to work, and all of a sudden, my heart, it felt like a grip. It felt like a hand squeezing your heart. Like if I moved an inch, it felt like this vice grip on your heart. On
mm-hmm.
my heart, you know what I mean? On my heart. Called my brother, and he says, I got to take you to emergency ward. Maybe you need to pump that out of you, because I told him I couldn't move. If I just moved an inch, it was so terrible. I don't know if you ever felt that. It was like a vice grip on your heart. I couldn't even breathe.
Yeah, it's
I couldn't even
too
go,
hard
to touch,
Brian.
Yeah. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had
oh,
that?
Oh, I had 2 heart attacks, yeah.
Oh, is that a heart attack I was having?
Painful.
Yeah,
it was the most
painful thing I've ever had. It was scary. It was painful. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move an inch or that sharp grip on my heart I felt with my hand, you know, because I took 5 of these things. Got in a car with my brother. He was going to take me to the emergency room. Then all of a sudden, I relaxed a little bit. And I felt there was some air that passed out of my heart. I don't know what it was. And then it slowly started to loosen the grip. And maybe I was coming out of it. And then I said, turn the car around. I'm okay. But that was the most scariest thing I've ever felt. That was horrible. That Vicodin, man. I'm telling you, that's some strong-ass shit. Some strong-ass shit.
Well, you're not supposed to take a bunch, eh?
I didn't know. I was like, okay, nothing's happening. Okay, nothing's happening. Like I said, I thought it was going to be Lucy in the Sky with diamonds and everything, but it just wasn't. And let's go back to Matthew Perry. Here you go. But, yeah, Vicodin, man, wow.
I swear to God, I think if I'd never taken it, none of the next three decades would have gone the way they did. Who knows? But when I woke up, 40 more pills had been delivered to my house.
They were Vicodin. He tells himself maybe he can curb his drinking if he uses pills to tame his fear and self-doubt. More pills, many kinds, that take over with a vengeance.
I've been taking something like 12 a day, and then went cold turkey one day and felt absolutely terrible.
His body has built up such a tolerance. He takes more pills to stave off withdrawal, and then horrifyingly more.
55 Vicodin a day, which is
wow.
Where I was.
55 Vicodins a day.
Holy crap.
Wow. That's enough to make Elvis Presley go, what the fuck?
That's enough to drop the moose.
I know. It does give you constipation. Is that the word I'm looking for? It makes you constipated?
Oh, yeah.
It does do that. So I can imagine pushing hard on, I can imagine pushing hard in his bowel movement that it did explode his ass. Wow. 55 a day? Damn.
Yeah.
How
did you get 55?
Well, I had to wake up and realize I needed to get 55 of them or I was going to be really sick. So I did all sorts of things. I had a bunch of doctors, fake migraines and all that stuff. And I guess the weirdest thing I did was on Sundays I would go to open houses and go to the bathrooms in the open house and see what pills they had in there and steal them. And I think they thought, well, there's no way that Chandler came in and stole from us.
There you go. That's a terrible story. I will get his book. I mean, my God. Wow. It's hard to come back from 55 a day. 55 a day. It's hard to come back from that. I mean, your ass explodes. Now you're in a rehab. It's not working. You know, rehab. You already went to rehab 15 years, 15 times, and this is the 16th time you're going to write your book. Can you imagine the pressure? You're saying you're sober now. You write a book, tell you, I'm good. I'm good now. And then let's say you fall back. Can you imagine the pressure? Go, oh, no. Then the whole world, one minute the world's saying, okay, you had a couple of drinks or what's wrong with him. But now after you tell the world, your secret, they're going to be looking at you like, okay, he's wasted again. He's useless. He's a loser. That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure.
I know. I have a lot of pressure on me being high all the time.
Do you really?
I'm just kidding.
And that's you having the pressure on. All right, you're not high all the time, and you're funny when you're high. Pat and I, we go on Facebook. Sometimes Pat would keep weird hours, meaning late hours, and I will be working on something. And Pat goes, are you up? I'm going, yeah, I'm up. And I go to Pat, oh, well, I'm just smoking my joint and everything. She goes, blaze it up. I'm smoking mine, too. And then you should hear our conversations of two high people talking. It's the funniest shit. Like, really? I said that? Yes, you did. We have had some strange conversations, haven't we, Pat, on Facebook? We have had some strange conversation. Both of us were shooting the blaze. Fire it up, person. And then we compare what you got. It's like two kids on trick-or-treating. What did you get? I got this. What did you get? Oh, I got this. Really? It's like two kids getting candy from trick-or-treating. What did you get? So that's fun stuff.
So what do they have available down there?
Everything.
As far as
we don't have any. We have gummies. We don't have any hallucinogenics that are legal, meaning shrooms, mushrooms, or pills that you could drop a pill. We don't have anything that's hallucinogenic. None of that is legal. Just smoke. Bakery goods, you know, cookies,
that was a big
candy.
It was a big win getting that.
Yeah.
But no, the shrooms just came in naturally after everything else was legal.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. We don't
and
have that.
The shrooms have been available. I mean, through back doors ever since I was a kid. So.
Wow.
You know.
I always wanted to try them, but I never got to do it.
I'd send you somebody to get arrested.
No. Don't do that. But I will come out there and we will shroom it up.
Yeah. You really should one day. It's you've never been to Niagara, have you?
Never been there.
Oh, it is a sight, Brian. It is a sight. And it's the most beautiful surroundings. You wouldn't believe it. It's just gorgeous.
Oh, I bet it is. I've seen pictures and everything. It is gorgeous. It's absolutely beautiful country. Oh, yeah. I know it is. And I will get there, Pat.
I will get there. So tell John to get ready and tell Mr. Fred Brian's coming.
In the next few years.
In the next few years, I'm still going to go there because I always wanted to go to Canada. Well, Pat, we're going to end our show right now. And I want to thank you for being my special guest, as always. And I want to thank Stanley for coming in. I want to thank those 411s that are listening to the show and you people out there listening. Have a happy Halloween. It's Halloween. Be safe out there. The life you save may be mine.
Okay, you have a good night.
All right. Have a good night, baby.
I have lots of kids coming tonight.
Oh, do you really? We don't have kids coming over my place. We haven't had a kid in 4 years. So, happy Halloween.
All right. Okay, bye.
Good night. Be safe.
Bye.
Good night.